Good morning, family. I trust that you guys are all well this awesome Sunday morning. It's so wonderful to have the privilege again of speaking to you all. I hope your week has been great and that despite the lockdown and despite all the challenges that you've experienced maybe this week, I trust that you've truly grown in Christ and that you've been pursuing Christ. I really want to just thank everyone who's been praying. It's been so amazing seeing all the people praying on our prayer group. And those of you maybe haven't joined, I'd really encourage you to still join and to pray with us. I know some of you maybe haven't been posting on the prayer group, but thank you so much for the fact that we've had two full 24-hour prayer sessions on Tuesday and on Friday. For the full 24 hours each day, we've had someone for an hour sitting on the prayer wall, interceding for our country, our city, the nations of the world, and of course each one of us. So I really want to thank you and honor you. It's such a privilege partnering with each one of you in this exciting time that we're living in. Last week, if you remember, I spoke about the testing of our faith, and I believe God is truly testing our faith in this time. So I don't know how your week has been, and if you've had a test of your faith and your joy and your relationship with God in this week, but I truly have, and we've had some amazing times as a family together. We've had some amazing times of worship and prayer and family devotions together, and also some challenges as well as we find ourselves confined and having to really deal with each other and getting to our hearts and so on. So I trust that you've had the same experience. Those of you who are alone, I trust that you've really been pursuing God in this time, that you don't find yourself ever lonely, but truly at home with the Lord in your presence. But I just want to share a quick story before I get into the word for this week that happened to us as a family or happened to us this week. And nothing major, but I truly believe God is testing us, and God truly tested my faith this week because we decided one day that it's time to do some gardening. Obviously, our gardener can't come in, and so we decided, well, let's all get the kids involved and let's do some gardening. And so we gave them all a few garden tools, and Matthew, of course, took the fork, the big garden fork, and he was going for it there in the one garden where close to our swimming pool at a very strategic place, and I'll tell you now why, but he started to use the fork and spit the ground and soften the ground and everything, and it was amazing, and I felt a little bit of an uneasiness because I thought, yo, I don't think he should be using that just now. He hits himself in the foot or something like that, and so I just said to him, I think it's best that you don't do it, but he wanted to and he carried on. I thought, okay, well, I wasn't too happy, but let him go. Then I carried on with something else, and the next moment I just hear water gushing out of a pipe, and I turned around and I just look at the water gushing out of the pipe that runs from the flats heating system on top of the flats roof to the swimming pool. It was one of those PVC pipes, and he'd stuck a hole right through that pipe. And I, in that split second, in that moment, I just knew what challenges lay ahead for me. And so I got so upset with him, and I was really upset and said, why did you do that? You told you not to. And I was really angry and frustrated because I knew, I don't know how I'm going to fix this thing. I knew the shops were closed, the specialist's not going to come out. So I'm going to either have to make a plan or else we're not going to have swimming time. We're not going to have a heated swimming pool. And that is a problem in this time that we're in. And so I really got angry and frustrated, but eventually calmed down and just decided, Lord, just help me to fix this problem. And so I managed to fix it, not perfectly. It still leaks water and unfortunately not 100% fixed, but it'll do for now. And so I really had to calm myself down and afterwards had to really say sorry to the Lord, first of all, just for my outburst of anger and frustration. And of course, I had to say sorry to Matthew for the way I reacted towards him, and also obviously to forgive him for what he had done. And he obviously felt a bit ashamed and challenged by what had happened. But we got through it. The Lord helped us to forgive and to carry on. And things are 100% now between us. But at the time, I was just challenged and reminded again about the testing of our faith. Because in that moment, my faith, my relationship with God was tested. I had to respond to a certain reaction. I had to respond to what was happening, and in that moment I was really challenged in my relationship with the Lord. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, specifically about our relationship with God, this thing called faith. What is it? You see, faith is is a response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith only comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our faith is in response to what Jesus has done on the cross. But because of this amazing gospel, there is a response that is demanded from each one of us. And I want to look at the book of James in chapter 2. James chapter 2. Remember, we said we're working through the book of James. And here we go on to chapter 2 from verse 14 to verse 26 this morning. So you can turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 2 from verse 14 to verse 26. And let's just read a couple of verses, because I believe the Lord is really talking to us about our faith at this time. And James writes here, and he says the following. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him?" James is talking here about this whole thing of faith and works. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about our relationship with the Lord. What is the response that we have in our relationship with God? Because you see, faith is the outworking of the gospel in all of our lives. Faith has a response which is called works. Some translations call it actions or deeds or works. But faith has a response. And James says that how can someone say they have faith, but there isn't a response? Can that faith be true? Is that the real faith that the Bible talks about? Is that the real faith God wants from us? And then he goes on and he likens it to a brother or sister naked and without food. He says, yeah, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things that are needed, the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? And he goes on, he says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So the first thing James does here is he likens this thing of where we say we have faith, but we don't put it into action. He says it's the same as seeing someone on the street who's either naked or without food. And you'll remember that those are the two things that the Bible talks about, the basic needs of each person, to have clothes and to have food. It's like seeing someone without clothes or very few clothes or without food, and you say, "Depart in peace, be warm, be filled, God bless you," and you have the means to help that person, but you don't. That is the equivalent of having faith or saying that you have faith, but you don't put it into action. Isn't that sad? I mean, is that the faith that God wants from us? I don't think so. And James goes on and he says, the second thing he says, well, Let's talk about this whole thing of faith and works. He says, some people say that I have faith and others say I have works. And James says, if you say, "Show me your faith without works," I am going to show you my faith by my works. He's almost saying that there's two types of people here. Some people think that you can separate faith and works. You get your faith people, you know, your spiritual people that are always in the spirit and always kind of, you know, the people of faith. And then you get the people who are practical, you know, your practical doing type of people. They'll just do the stuff. And James says you cannot separate these two. There aren't two types of people, the faith people and the works people. And there isn't such a thing as faith and works being separate. It's faith and works is one thing. It's together. You cannot separate the two. So he's truly asking us to understand that we need to prove our faith by our works. And he's trying to get this across, and he's trying to say, how can you say that you've got faith, but you haven't got anything to back it up? You've got an intellectual agreement or mental assent with the Bible. That's all you have. You say you have faith, and you agree. And then he goes on, he says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble." So he says, even people who believe in God and they know about God, that they know there is a God there, and they say they believe in God, but there's no change in their lives. He says, even the demons believe. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So he's trying to say that faith needs to be put into action, because without action, without works, without deeds, faith is simply dead. It's like everyone can say they believe, but yet those who have true faith are those who put their faith into action. And then James goes on here and he uses an amazing story of Abraham. Isn't that so strategic, so powerful? Verse 21, he says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? So yeah, he's talking about the story of Abraham. And this story is found in Genesis chapter 22. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you this week to go and read that chapter of Genesis 22. It is one of my favorite stories. I love the way God speaks to Abraham. God speaks to Abraham and tells him, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son. That son of yours that I promised you, Isaac, the one I promised you, I want you to take him up to the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him there. And I don't know about you, but if you're a parent listening this morning, you will know how precious a child is to you. And imagine your firstborn. Imagine waiting a long time to receive a child, or even maybe you didn't wait a long time, but that child is such a blessing to you. Imagine God saying to you, I want you to sacrifice that son, that child of yours. I mean, that is the most amazing act of obedience that Abraham could have done. And the Bible says Abraham immediately got up, he took people with him, he took his son, put the wood on him, went up the mountain, and he was about to kill his son when the angel of the Lord came and spoke and said, Abraham, I see your faith. Stop. Don't kill your son. I see that I can trust you. And the Lord spoke and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to be blessed. Your descendants are going to be multitudes and multitudes of people because you have obeyed my voice. Such an amazing story of Abraham. And that is the faith and the works that James is talking about. Yeah, Abraham's faith was put to the test and he obeyed God. He put into action that which God spoke to him. And I want to say three things that I believe God is teaching us out of the life of Abraham. What is faith and works? What is this faith that's being put into action? How can it be applied to our own lives? The first thing I believe we can learn from Abraham is that, number one, Abraham had a relationship with God. Abraham knew God. Isn't that so? Abraham knew God's voice. He knew God's ways. He knew God's character. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know God? Do you really know him? Do you know that he's good, that his character is perfect and holy, that he's for you? And do you know his ways, that his ways are many times higher than our ways? But do you know the ways of God? And then do you know the voice of God? Because that's how we can see that Abraham knew God. He knew the voice of God. He knew the ways of God. He knew the character of God. He knew God personally. Do you know him in this time? Because that is the result of having faith in God, is that we really know him. We get to know him. And if you don't know him so well this morning, that's okay. You can grow into getting to know God. Abraham took a journey of growth to getting to know God. That's the first thing. Abraham knew God. Then the second thing is Abraham responded to the voice of God, and he heard the voice of God and he responded. That's the second thing. He heard the voice of God. So he knew the voice of God. He knew God's character, God's ways and his voice. But then he could hear God's voice and respond to it. He said, "Here I am, Lord." That morning he said he woke up early and he just said, "Here I am, Lord." As soon as he heard the voice of God. And that is what I want to encourage all of us in this time. Do we not only know God, but do we hear his voice and respond to him and say, "Lord, here I am." And the third thing that Abraham did was he obeyed God. He obeyed the instructions of what God had showed him. And I want to say in this time, God is wanting to give us instructions, friends. God is wanting to tell us specific stuff about his kingdom. We're living in exciting times. I believe there's such a preparation happening right now. And God is wanting us to hear his voice and to simply obey the instructions he gives us. Because God doesn't just want to say, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Yes, he does that. And he loves us so much, but he doesn't only love us, he loves the whole world. And he's wanting to give us instructions concerning his kingdom. So do you hear the voice of God? Do you respond to it? Are you obedient to what God is saying to you? Because that's what I believe we can learn from the story of Abraham. Abraham had faith, but he put it into action. He was obedient. Isn't that exciting? Abraham's faith resulted in that obedience. And the Bible said that he was justified. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And then what does it say? Abraham was called the friend of God. I don't know about you, but I want that title. I want to be known as a friend of God. What about you? You know, there's so many titles in the world today. There's There's doctors and professors and pastors and bishops and evangelists and elders and deacons. And there's so many titles even in the kingdom of God. But this is the title Abraham got, friend of God. And I want to have that title when I come to the end of my life. I want to be known as someone who is the friend of God, even now. But it doesn't come easy. You know, God is the friend of sinners. Jesus came and he calls himself the friend of sinners. You know, but to be known as the friend of God isn't something that can be taken lightly. Abraham obeyed. Abraham sacrificed. Abraham counted the cost of a relationship with God. And that is what God wants to encourage us with this morning, is that in order to be called the friend of God, there's a price to be paid. There's a cost. It's not cheap. It's not easy. But God wants to call us his friends. Amen. If we live by faith and we put that faith into action, like Abraham did. You see, it's the same as a marriage. If I think about a marriage relationship, faith is similar to love. In that faith is a doing word. Amen. Would you agree with me? Faith isn't a passive thing. Faith is a doing word, just like love. And if we talk about love for a while, let's just talk about the love between a man and a woman, the love between a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter, or parents and children, that love between family that are really close together. I mean, think about someone you love. Are you just going to say to them the whole time, I love you, I love you, I love you, but you're not going to prove your love, you're not going to show your love? That person has reason to doubt in your love. Isn't that so? And it's the same with faith. God wants us to respond to him. If we say we have faith, if we truly believe, then he wants us to respond to him, just like any love relationship. When you first fell in love, those of you who've been in love or are in love, you will know that you want to do everything for your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend. You're so in love that love drives you to action. You're not going to just sit there and talk to the person and say, I love you. You're going to do stuff for them, just like we buy our children gifts, we bless them, we provide for them because we love them so much. I provide for my wife. My wife provides for me. We love each other. We do stuff for each other because of our love. And it's the same with God. And God says, if you love me, then obey my commandments. Do as I say. And the amazing thing is God said in his word in 1 John that my commandments are not burdensome. My commandments are there to bless you because I want a living relationship with you, just like Abraham had. And that is what God wants from us, friends, in this time. What a privilege to be called the friend of God like Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then it goes on and in verse 24 it says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? God wants us to be like Rahab. And James here specifically talks about, he's first talked about Abraham, then he talks about Rahab the harlot. You can find that story in Joshua chapter 2. An amazing story of the spies that Joshua sends out, and they come to this harlot called Rahab. And they stay in her house. And if you look at the story of Rahab, it's an incredible story. Rahab was a harlot, a prostitute. Rahab lied. Because the king said to her and all the people there, get these men because they must come to me because they're up to some trouble here. And Rahab lied and sent them out another way and protected these men because she knew the purposes of God. And Rahab had an encounter with the Lord and said to these men that came to stay with her, she said, you know what? The fear of God has come upon our people and the fear of God has come upon me because I know that the God you serve, your God, is the God in heaven above and the God in the earth below. And she confessed that this God of the Jews, the Israelites, was the true God. And she asked and begged them and said, please, if I let you go, if I let the purposes of God come to pass, I truly want to ask you, please save me and my family. And that's what happened. Rahab was saved from the destruction of Jericho. The whole of Jericho got destroyed except for Rahab and her family. Why? Because she put her faith into action. And she is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith. And it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Rahab was justified because she let the spies go. And she let the purposes of God come to pass. Her faith was put into works. And she got saved and her family got saved. And you know what the amazing thing is about Rahab? Rahab, I don't know if you know this, but Rahab is the great, great, great grandmother of David. The great, great grandmother. Sorry, not three greats. She married a guy and they had a son called Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, and Ruth is the grandmother of King David. Isn't that amazing? God allows Rahab to come and be part of the people of God, and not only just to become the part of the people of God, but to be in the lineage of David and ultimately of Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't God write incredible stories for all of us? And God wants to encourage us in this time, friends, to be like Rahab, to live by faith and put that faith into action. And don't you think it's amazing that James here uses two people, one a Jew, Abraham, the father of the Jews, the father of Israel, and then he uses a Gentile, Rahab, and he says both of these, Jew and Gentile, can come into the kingdom of God by faith if you put your faith into action, if your faith leads to obedience. That is the faith God is looking for. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, God is looking for faith that is put into action. And I want to challenge us, and I want to finish off. He says here in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I want to encourage us this morning as I end off, and that is that all of us would walk in the faith that James is talking about in this time. I believe God is going to speak to each one of us, friends, about the times that lie ahead. It's not only about now. Yes, these 21 days are challenging, and praise the Lord, we finished with a little bit more than a week already, but there's less than 2 weeks left. What then? Is life just going to go on as normal? No, I don't believe God wants that. God wants us to practice putting our faith into action, even right now where we may be in a bit more protected environment. But practice with those around you. Like I had to do to Matthew, I had to say sorry to him. I had to repent towards God for my reaction to this tough situation that happened. And my faith and my relationship with God was tested in this time. And all of us, God is going to speak to us and say, I want more of you. I want you to seek more of me. I want you to lay aside the distractions. I want you to come to pray. I want you to go and bless your family member with a word of encouragement or whatever. But let's practice in this time. For when this time stops, when we can actually go out into the world again fully, let us be equipped, let us be ready to go and bless people out there. Amen. Won't you do that with me? Won't you be challenged in this time that God is calling us to truly practice our faith and put it into practice? Not just say we have faith, but truly be people of works, because God said he has prepared good works beforehand for each one of us. God wants us to walk in those good works. And it's not a case of trying to save ourselves through our works, but because of such a great salvation, because of such a great blessing that we have in our relationship with God, let's respond to that and do what God has called us to do. Let's be like the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, when he got knocked off his horse, when he came to his senses again, he realized it was Jesus speaking to him. The first thing he said was this: here I am, Lord, what must I do for you? And God is calling us each to that place in this time. As we pray, as we seek his face, let's say, God, here I am, what do you want me to do? And God will be clear. God will give his instructions to each one of us. So as I say, some of us, we might have to forgive some people in this time. We might have to say sorry to some people. We might have to ask for forgiveness. We might have to just go and bless someone there where we are staying. Or for those of us who are still working in this time, maybe God is calling you truly to step out, to trust him, and to let his kingdom come. Whatever it is, but let's prepare for the times that lie ahead. It's truly exciting to be alive at a time like this. But let's truly walk in faith and let our faith move us into action, where God says, without works, faith is simply a clanging cymbal. Faith is simply something that makes a noise, but there's no result to it. There's no action. There's no good works. So let me pray for all of us as we just consider these few thoughts, and as we come to God and say, God, we want to walk by faith, which leads to good works, which leads to obedience, just like Abraham did, just like Rahab did. And when we see someone that we can blessed and someone that we can help. We don't just want to say, be blessed, go your way, be warm, be filled. We want to do something. We want to do that which you've called us to do. And I want to encourage us that the gospel in this time is truly powerful, not only to save us, but truly to help us to walk in that salvation, to walk in that obedience and that sanctification. And maybe for some of you, that next step might be baptism. Maybe you're listening to this message and you know God is calling you to take that first step of faith and obedience in the form of baptism. I want to encourage you, do it. Be baptized. It opens up a world of obedience and a world of hearing God's voice and being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Can we pray together this morning? Father, I want to thank you for this word from James. I want to thank you that you're calling us to walk by faith, Lord, but to put our faith into action, Jesus. How can we just say that we believe, say that we have faith, but Lord, there's no resulting action. There's no fruit from our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to each one of us in this time. I thank you that you're calling us to a deeper level of response to the gospel that you have caused to happen, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for the good news of the gospel, that we can live in this gospel, but not only believe it, but put into action that which you place on our hearts. And I pray for strength and courage in this time for each one. I pray that we'd overcome many things, Lord, and that you'd prepare us for a mighty harvest of souls that lies ahead. We thank you for this time. We thank you that you are moving throughout the earth. And we want to respond to you, Lord. Help us to know who you are, Lord. Help us to hear your voice and obey you. And Lord, do what you have called each one of us to do. I thank you for each one listening and watching this. And I thank you that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next week. Have a great week. In Jesus' name. Amen.